Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Robert Palmer coming at you. Robert Joseph Palmer, live here from the Raven Institute, the School of Entrepreneurship and the School of Leadership Development. Yes, we're running between campuses today. We're making up for a show that we missed, and then we missed another one. So we did a combined show yesterday, two themes, and we're doing that again today, and then we'll be back on track. So we're combining entrepreneurship and leadership here on the show called Channel You, coming from the Raven Institute. Channel You, and why? Because you have arrived. It's time. It's time for you. It's time to channel you. So no longer being told what to do or having a blueprint with rules on how to get things done and how to do stuff. Nope. You are on your own. We'll talk more about that on our energy school days. All right. Because a lot of shifts, a lot of changes going on. But you created those shifts. These are direct manifestations, extensions of your collective consciousness, folks. We're doing some pretty good stuff. A lot of great things are happening. So today we're combining entrepreneurship and leadership in a show called Entrepreneurship and Leadership in the New Consciousness. Here at the Raven Institute, Robert Palmer, Robert Joseph Palmer, your host on the show, Channel You. You can call in today if you'd like, area code 515-602-9786. That's 515-602-9786. We'd love to hear from you here on Channel You. Because, hey, it's time to start listening to yourself. Because that's all there is anymore. Always was. Is, always will be. It's just a little more apparent these days. The rug has been pulled out from under you. The safety net is your, as it were. So anyway, secretly, we kind of like it when we miss an episode because of the after result. We get to combine two schools of integration here at the Raven Studio, in the Raven Studio, yeah. The studio of all of our creation here at Raven, to use that metaphor of the studio. And those five schools that we have, the Energy School, Entrepreneurship, Leadership, Performance, and Writing here at the Raven Institute. And again, when we miss a day, we can combine. And it's kind of fun to see how that happens. It's always interesting. Who was it? The great philosopher. Oh, my God. Aristotle. He said genius is the ability to make connections. So it's fun to combine and connect two themes from the Raven Institute in one show and see what happens. I mean, we combine entrepreneurship and leadership today, but there really are two things that overlap seamlessly anyway. And every time I think about entrepreneurship and how we use the model from Jeunesse Global, the network marketing business model of the 21st century, and teach people through that system how to have their own global business, you know, leadership is such a huge part of that. You know, if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, if you're going to lead teams of people and networks and build networks of people to be successful, I mean, that's all about leadership. Woo! So, you know, really entrepreneurship and leadership, they go hand in hand. I mean, it's hard to have one without the other, you know, happening by itself in a vacuum. It's virtually impossible for that to happen. So today we're going to focus a little bit on agreements and groups, because it is Leadership Day as well. And, you know, if you're in any group is about agreements. And that's, there's a little collective consciousness happening in any group. Now, if we get into quantum physics and the new consciousness, we all know that there is only one moment happening. There's really no time-space continuum. There's just one moment. And there's just you, basically alone in a room. And all these different experiences you're having are just different versions of that same moment. Your energy is shifting. Your perspective, your mindset is shifting sometimes, you know, hundreds of thousands of times a second. And so many of those different realities and dimensions are so similar, you virtually don't even see the difference. But it's happening all the time. Sometimes you see more drastic differences, and you're like, whoa. And those are because some of the choices you're making, some of the things you're integrating, some of the stuff that's going on. So it stands to reason that Well, and people always ask the question, well, if I'm alone in a room, there's only one reality and one moment and one world, and it's my reality. I'm creating it constantly. Well, what are all these other people doing here, and how does that work? Well, there are other people doing the same thing, and sometimes you come into agreements with them. A lot of times it's people that energetically you've been with in what we would call on this planet, in this dimension, other lives, but really it's just other versions of the same moment. You have been in agreements with them. Maybe you were in agreement that was in the form of a marriage or a family structure, or perhaps it was an academic pursuit, a professional pursuit of some kind. Maybe it was a war. You know, who knows what the experience was? So it could be a lot of things. But we tend to energetically come back to the same people we've been in agreement or disagreement with before. If there was disagreement, well, you're probably coming together to resolve that karma and kind of clean that space up a little bit.
Yeah.
Unresolved issues. Isn't this planet full of that stuff going on? So you come back to the planet to deal with those unresolved issues. You find those folks unconsciously or consciously that you were in agreements or disagreements with different versions of that moment, and things happen. But let's get a little more down to earth here. Let's get on the ground. Like we said, any group is all about agreement. Any group you're in, there's a certain agreement or disagreement going on in that group. So, again, it stands to reason, or the question begs to be asked, what kind of energy field do these agreements create? I like to say, what agreements are you in? You know, what are you agreeing with? You know, I always ask people, like, you know, when I hear a complaint or I hear a victim mentality coming forth, I'm like, well, you're in some weird agreement. It comes when someone was complaining about buying Christmas gifts for their family. And I was like, it was so funny. We were out during the holidays with some people. And I, you know, these people are not friends. They were very indirect. And I just couldn't help but say, it sounds like you don't want to do that. So what are you doing for? Person got pretty darn angry. But, I mean, there's someone that's in some strange agreement that they don't even like. They don't prefer it, but they're acting it out over and over again, season after season, Christmas after Christmas. And they don't even enjoy doing it, but they're in some weird agreement with a belief system about this holiday called Christmas, and they complain about buying presents. So you got to ask yourself, and we ask people that a lot in our studios, when we reacquaint ourselves with them, like if they come back, you know, to a next class in a workshop, maybe it's been a week or two or whatever, and we reconnect and we catch up, and we'll ask, like, hey, what are you in agreement with? What's going on? Or in other words, what have you been creating? We always ask that question, what have you been creating lately? And it really is, you know, a lot of that comes from agreements. We're in so many groups. You know, one of the, our writing school, we have this thing, one of the tools is called the cataloging tool. And you create a lot of lists of things that relate to a particular project. We have five core lists, and one of them is groups associated with that list. And it amazes me, and it amazes other people, how many groups we're in, formally or informally, that we really don't think about. There's so many. There's tons. And those are agreements. Okay, you're in agreement with those groups. You're in disagreement, like the guy buying Christmas presents. And it's just causing a lot of discord in your life. Or you're in a really high-frequency group that has agreements that create that level of high frequency or the new levels of higher self or higher consciousness. The struggling group is there's a lot of discord in those agreements. Or maybe they're in agreement with things that are very low-functioning, really low frequencies. And that's interesting to think about, too. So let's get back to that question. What energy field do these agreements create? In other words, what kind of experience and reality is manifested? And we talked about that briefly a second ago. You know, what kind of reality are you manifesting with these agreements? Because when you get into a collective agreement, and even the planet has that collective consciousness, whoa, it can get messy. And ultimately, what need is unconditionally being served? By abundant energy, because that's always happening. You're always being served with what you need. So when we always say, we always talk about that, you know, if you're in a certain kind of agreement, you get a certain kind of thing manifested, certain kind of reality that you're experiencing. Hopefully it's one you prefer. if you're in a bunch of agreements or a particular agreement with a group and it's creating a situation that you don't prefer, that you don't like. Workplace is always an easy example. That's creating a lot of, you know, that creates a whole different reality. So we took some nice notes down earlier about groups. And what you said, groups, all groups have agreements. And we can talk about, you know, high functioning, low functioning frequencies, whatever. But collective agreements create what I really am calling today an energy field. I don't like the exactness or lack of that clarity on that, but different agreements create various energy fields. And so I've got a what if question here. Like, what if agreements fall under a category of negativity? Let's give you an example. What if your agreements are really centered around a bunch of thou shalt nots? Thou shalt not do this. And a lot of religions find that. There's a lot of rules and stuff. Or just rules in general. But there's just a lot of rules. And rules have a really weird energy. They have a lot of weight to them. And it's not a positive weight. What if, getting back to that question, what if the agreements fall under a lot of fear and anxiety and suffering, victim mindsets, et cetera? You know, we see whole communities of people and groups that can have that victim mindset or the agreements come from fear. Like, we agree that this thing is a big danger to us. And so we carry the weight of that fear around us and anxiety about, you know, this could happen. What if this happens? And that really locks the energy of that group down. So, and then if you, that negative voice, I like to call it the negative voice. Another one that does, you know, you'll hear and feel things like, if you don't do this, or if you do this, then, you know, it's a very result-based, you know, a lot of result-based thinking, outcome-based thinking, like preset outcomes. And we know from our formula for how the universe works, it's really important to follow your excitement to the best of your ability with no expectations on outcome. So if your belief system, if your agreements with a group are really, really based in outcome, it can become very stifling energy. Okay. And we call those in a negative voice, a lot of thou shalt not. So let's look at the flip side of that. Sometimes we'll look at the contrast, the negative of something to understand it better. What if we look at the positive side? So what about agreements that are in what we call a positive voice? What if you are in a group that has agreements that begin more with the thought of we will? And in our leadership development program, that's what we do here at Raven. It's the first thing we have a group do is we have them create a list of things that they hold sacred. They do it secretively first by themselves. They don't let anyone see their list. But there is a condition. There's got to be a we will at the top of the page. We will. And they just... they fill out that statement with 10 positive statements. We will do this. Not we won't do this. It's very hard to get people to write in a positive voice a list of things they hold sacred. We used to call it expectations, but it gets a little confusing because we try to keep people away from the expectations, even though it kind of makes sense, but it could be confusing. So we now call it what the group holds sacred or values. You can also begin that positive voice, or a group can be in agreements with things that begin with I am. Okay, so there's the group in the negative voice that's really got a mindset of being told what to do or telling others what to do. A lot of that stuff. We always say children are told what to do. Some people really like telling people what to do, you know, like elementary teachers. They spend all day doing that. They like telling people what to do. And they come home and more of that goes on. Oh, is there someone calling into us? I don't know what that was. Let's take a look. Nope, that was not someone calling into us. Okay. Speaking of which, you can call into the radio show called Channel U here from the Raven Institute, the Entrepreneurship and Leadership Development Schools today. You can call in at area code 515-602-9786, and you can reach Channel U. And you have comments or questions for us here at the Raven Institute. All right, we're talking about the negative and positive voice. We're talking about how groups, all groups have agreements, and those agreements that they have consciously or unconsciously are really belief systems, and those can have very different results energetically. You're creating a very different reality from those two different places. So the negative voice to review are the thou shalt not agreements. Don't do this, don't do that, or just fear-based, anxiety-based belief systems. A lot of times a victim mindset. And the positive voice, the positive agreement, is more of a we will mentality or an I am mentality. And getting back to that, children do what they're told, adults tell you what they're going to do. So I am, instead of being in a passive place or waiting for someone to tell me what to do or telling others what to do, which is really messy energy, being in an I am place. I am this. I always were this, I am this, and I'm going to continue to be this, and I'm going to filter my experience through this higher self of me. And this is a group of agreements that are in excitement, okay? Because these are things you're excited about when you say, we will, or I am. That's stuff you're typically excited about, unless you're going back to that Christmas present guy. I am presents for people, even though it drives me crazy and I don't like this agreement I'm in at all. And then getting really mad when someone says, well, why don't you just not buy in presents anymore if you don't like it so much? Might feel better. So anyway, to follow what excites you, that's a different kind of group, collective agreement outcome that will come out of that. The victim mentality tends to keep itself going back to that, giving credit to the book that just came, that we just received from Europe, Romania. Donna was made privy to it by an energy worker she knows there. The gene, 48 genes or gene book, own 48 pairs of genes and you're all set. I have no idea, but she's been sharing a lot of stuff with me about that. And I love when he talks about, you know, the victim mentality gets caught in a loop behavior that causes suffering. That's a big agreement. Okay, being in a loop of behaviors that causes suffering, well, suffering, you know, just thinking, okay, well, that's just what, you know, life is a cycle of suffering and resurrection. That's a belief system in itself. That's a big agreement. Okay, does it have to be that way? Does it not necessarily have to be shipped out of that? It could take a while, could take generations, could take lifetimes of work, or it could just be momentary shifts. Just keep, you know, when you're met with that agreement, you shift out of it. Like, I don't believe in that, or here's how and why, and here's why it served me, and I have gratitude for it, but I'm going to let it go. This doesn't make sense to my I am anymore. This is what I am now. The creator mentality sees everything not from a victim mentality, but a creator mentality. So the creator sees things as opportunities always. He's always excited because they're in agreement with excitement. Okay, well, you know, even though this might not be excitement or exciting to me, how can I trust my imagination and creativity to redirect and shift energy toward my excitement, even if an experience I'm having isn't. And that can be done very easily, like we said, but with gratitude, understanding how it served you at some time, it maybe no longer does, or just taking that thing that might not seem all that great at first, like raking the leaves, and then getting creative. Like, hey, if I make this big pile, we can have fun doing it. It's beautiful. It smells great. It's quality time outside. We can burn them. That it smells really good. We can create a picnic. Give a little incentive or just have the picnic going on while we rake leaves. These are creative, fun ways to take something that the victim person might not see. You know, they're in agreement that raking leaves is a nasty, horrible thing that I have to do every season. But the person in their excitement who sees things as opportunity allows synchronicity to now flow through their experience and create a lot of great stuff from that energy. Channeling the higher self, in other words. So you are listening to the radio show on Blog Talk Radio, Channel U, the letter U, like Channel University. And why do we say that? Because, hey, you've arrived. It's time. it's time for you. It's time to channel you. And that's what the Raven Institute is all about, empowerment and you taking charge and responsibility of what's going on. So the entrepreneur is a leader. And every group has agreements, you know, whether it's consciously or unconsciously. And hopefully it becomes conscious so you're self-aware, that you're being in a conscious place with the people you're working with and you're in an agreement. When we talk about Jeunesse Global, when we talk about network marketing, there are certain things that we're in agreement about. One thing is a win-win mentality. That's an agreement. This is not traditional business. Hey, I'm going to do all I can to be successful so that guy over there isn't. I got to find a way to do this that's better than him or her. And so, you know, if I'm successful, they are going to fail. If my business makes it through the coronavirus because of things that I do, they're going to fail over there for whatever reason. They didn't have the technology, the virtual technology in place, blah, 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 blah. Well, network marketing isn't a competition. It's not the traditional, and I'm big on competition. I think, you know, it can raise us up. It can be a negative thing depending on the energy it comes from. That's a whole other show. Let me write that one down. Competition. We should probably do a show about that because that, you know, our school performance and our school of leadership could use a show on that. But getting back to the agreement you're in when you're in network marketing, it's win-win. Everybody's empowering everybody. Okay, we used the example last week, two salons on the same block or in the same neighborhood. When you're in network marketing, say, you know, you get into Jeunesse Global, a wellness company, say, for instance, and that's going to do really well at your salon because people are walking in with that mentality, looking younger, feeling great. But you're not going to be in competition with the other salon anymore. You're going to go over there and say, hey, let's be partners in this network marketing business model. Very different. If we do it together, we're just going to get bigger and better. You know, if you partner with me, it's as if you opened a second salon and you're getting paid to open that second salon. It's not some burden, time or money on your business. It's actually an expansion that just gives you further expansion and further abundance. And it's not just you're building another salon because you partnered with another salon. Let's think about that salon. What if they have 300 customers, 500 people on their email list? You just opened up potentially 500 stores when you partner your salon with theirs, and vice versa. Let's say they have 500 clients, and they're really lousy at building their business from a network, but you know they have a lot to learn. So in the first year, they only get like a 10% people get into the business opportunity or become customers. Well, that's 50 people. I know people in network marketing that have sponsored 40 people and made millions of dollars. So, I mean, this is amazing to think about that you can do that. And what if you get 50 people? Let's get back to that number. You just opened 50 more salons, and you just got paid crazy money to open those 50 salons because the commissions. I mean, there's six streams of income that come from a company like a network marketing company like Jeunesse. Multi-billion-dollar, 145 states. I mean, especially in Metro Detroit here, or if you're in an ethnic community, there's people who know people all over the world, friends, family, and that business of yours can not just grow from those 50 out of 500 people that may have become customers or business owners and got into the opportunity. Think of the people they know. I mean, they all know 100 to 300 people. I don't even know if I can wrap my head around that math. I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of people just from that one interaction with one salon. So, and 50 people saying, hey, yeah, let's give this a shot. Let's do something. And, you know, you just never know. And we had a kid who was 17 and he couldn't have his own. He was in our team. He's in our team. He was 17. He was a senior in high school. He couldn't have his own network marketing business with Jeunesse, so his dad signed up, created the business through him, and allowed his son to run it because he was like, I'm not doing this. Son was a senior, brought in two salons. There's that salon example again. In Boca Raton, Florida, the kid made $575,000 his senior year in high school. with that company. And that was really the two salons is what set them free. And we always say in network marketing, you're two quality business partners away. But those two salons killed it. You know, they made millions. And he got paid big commissions from that. So you can say you just never know. That's an agreement in network marketing. But really you do know. Because it is such a powerful business model. You do know. In 2 to 3 years, you will create an income if you do this, you know, if you really do it, that will set you free from going to work every day. And that's amazing. You know, people have done it. So do it all the time. You know, they create a really nice lifestyle. And compared to traditional business, I mean, I just gave you the example. That's crazy. We're a minute and a half away. So when you're building those relationships, building those agreements, isn't that a nice agreement to be in? That's a positive voice agreement. That's an empowerment agreement. And it's so empowering that a lot of people don't hear it the first time. I mean, they're in agreement with so many other belief systems about business, about wealth, about abundance, about their self-worth. It's got them in a lot of agreements about health, about relationships. Business relationships, that it's competition, dog eat dog. I mean, it takes a minute. So you definitely want to interact with a lot of different people because you're interacting with a lot of different agreements. But over time, and we'll talk more about agreements, how do you get a team and a network of people to buy in to this agreement? Because when they do, this business model is, like Robert Kiyosaki says, the greatest business model ever created. And it is the business model of the 21st century. Robert Palmer coming at you from the School of Entrepreneurship and Leadership Development at the Raven Institute. The show Channel You, because you know what? You've arrived. It's time. It's time for you. It's time to channel you. That's right. The age of gods, gurus, and is over. It's time for you. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week, or we'll see you tomorrow in the School of Performance. Peace.